Good morning. Today's daf in Bamatzia is Peivav. We are in Peyamid Beis. We are in the middle of the seventh third of Bamatzia, and we are dealing with Agadita, the Gemara, basically from the Mishnah, which started a couple days ago, which introduces us to the idea of Minhag HaMakom, where when it comes to hiring workers, so you have to follow the general Minhag. The Gemara then launched into a lengthy discussion of various agadita, and basically it's been kind of like short biographies, very short, but short punctuated biographies of some of the greats of our history. We discussed extensively Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who was the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ended up talking about also the son of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi. Very, very, very interesting stuff. And the Gemara continued. We are in the middle of discussing Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was a contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Rabbi Chiya was a Masada Brisos. He was the one who put together all the Brisos. Later on, we'll see some. It seems like he's also given credit for Tosefta's as well. But generally speaking, our assumption is that Tosefta's were authored by Rabbi Yoshi and the Brisos were authored by Rabbi Chiya. Anyway, he was a chavrus of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he was also the uncle of Rav. Okay, so the Torah was central to that particular group of grouping of Tanaim, and I guess we can call it Rav and Amori. He's on the border. Anyway, so the Gemara yesterday talked about how great Rabbi Chiya was, and we are continuing the Gemara's discussion. We are starting out with the words Amar Rabbi Zera. It's right halfway down on the point of the Gemara. First word in the line is Amar Leichas Vashon Lo Teikazos B'Yisrael. We mentioned yesterday Rabbi Chiya was the one who really put a lot of effort into developing a educational system amongst the Jewish people. He had boys learning Chumash and learning Mishnayos, having them learn it, having them teach it to others, and this was part of the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. Am Rabbi Zera Amishner Ali Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Zera tells the following story, that last night I was visited by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who was already nifter at this point in time. Amartilo Etzamiyata Takoa. So he asks him, who are you sitting next to in the Yeshiva Shemala? So Amalo Etzal Rav Yochanan. So he says, I'm sitting next to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Etzal, me. So okay, so let's just keep going down. Who's sitting next to Rav Yochanan? Etzal Rabbi Yanai. So he's sitting next to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai Etzal me. Etzal Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Etzal me. Etzal Rabbi Chiya. So we have now Rabbi Chiya, who's kind of like a couple seats away. So Amarti lo, Rabbi Yochanan Etzal Rabbi Chiya lo. So it's hard to imagine that we don't have Rabbi Yochanan right next to Rabbi Chiya, meaning in his mind he had Rabbi Chiya as being such a great man. How come Rabbi Chiya wasn't close to Rabbi Yochanan? Amar lo, ba'asa dizkukin anura over arn da'asha man ma'ayel bar nafkala taman. So the answer is that in a place where there's fire and there's already flames, so we don't need Bar Nafcha, we don't need the son of the smith. Throughout the Gemara, Rabbi Yechiya is referred to as Bar Nafcha. That's an expression. Now, it literally means he's the son of a smith, son of some sort of smith. Over here, I guess the general understanding of our Gemara is that he wasn't needed. A smith is needed in order to create the fire so that you could work, so you can make the tools. The fire was there already, so he wasn't needed. So therefore, he didn't have to sit next to Rav Yochanan. I'm Rav Chaviva Ishai Li, Rav Chaviva Bar Sarmuki. So Rav Chaviva said that he was told over by Rav Chaviva, Chazil Ha'amir Rabbanan Da V'Shchiach Eliyahu Gabay. So that he was by one of these Chachamim, where he was frequently visited by Eliyahu. Dilat Saf Ravu Shpir Neine, that in the morning, so his eyes look great. And La'orta Damyan Kidemiklim Benura. And that by the evening, though, the eyes look like they were totally scorched. Amrle Mai Hai, so he says to him, well, what happened? Meaning, what exactly got you to this place? Va'amrli, so Eliyahu said to me, De amre le Eliyahu achve li rabbanan kisakal masifta durakia. So he says to him that to Eliyahu, show me chachamim that went up to the yeshiva shorakia. Amrle bechula matzil istakule be lavar migorakna derabichia. So delo tistakal be. So Eliyahu says as follows: when you go up to Shemayim, so what you're going to do is you're going to be able to look at all the various chachamim, But the only thing you cannot look at is you cannot look at the throne of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was seated on some sort of throne, and you cannot look at his throne. My simaihu, my simnaihu. What would be the simon? How do I know which one belongs to Rabbi Chiya? Bechula azamalachi kisak v'nachis labar megoruka to Rabbi Chiya demenavshi salak v'nachis. So the way you'll know is as follows: when you see the other thrones of the other various chachamim in the yeshiva shemala, so they're going to be lifted and brought down by malachim. But when you get to the throne of Rabbi Chiya, so there will be no malachim. It goes up and down by itself. He does not need any type of angelic help. So he goes up to Shemayim, and he knows what he's not supposed to look at, but, you know, that's human nature. Well, you know what you're not supposed to look at, so that's exactly what you look at. So he was told not to look at the throne of Rabbi Chiya, but he does. So he couldn't hold himself back. He's talking. So he took a look at the throne of Rabbi Chiya. Asu trei butita denura. So two flames came and just singed his eyes. Lamachar azle ishtascha marasa. So the next day he went and he bowed down at the kever, at the cave of Rabbi Chiya. Amina masisa damar masisa vitzei. And he made the following promise, he made the following pledge: I will learn your brises. So I will learn your brises, and obviously it'd be much more helpful if I could see. So he asked Rabbi Chiya if he could help him get a refuah, and that's exactly what happened. Eliyahu v'shchich b'mesifta de Rebbe. Eliyahu was frequently visiting the yeshiva of Rebbe. Yomachad reish yarcha hava nagale v'lo asam. So one day it was the Rosh Chodesh, and he got there late. Amalei ma'itam nagale lamar. So the Rebbe asked Eliyahu Navi, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh, but that's not a good enough excuse. Why were you late today? So Amalei ad ukimna la Avraham. So he says like this: well, I had to wake Avraham up. Mishina yadei, and I had to wash his hands because, you know, he's sleeping. And when you wake up from sleep, you have to do until sidayim. Ma'atleini davin. Ma'agnin alei. And then I put him back down again. And then lechin li yitzchak v'chin li Yaakov. So I had the eye. So I woke the avos up to davin, and then I put him back down again. V'luk mina b'hadei adadei. So Rabbi asks Eliyahu Navi, okay, none of this seems strange at all. Perfectly fine. Just as a curiosity, how come you didn't wake all three of them up together? That would have saved you time, and you wouldn't have been so late to yeshiva. So, sever takva berachme amaisi lele mashiach. So he says, well, my concern is that if the three of them are davening together, so that really will bring about rachmanus, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring the mashiach. Below zmane, and it's too early. It's not the time for the mashiach. So that is my concern. So I'm a Levi Yeshuk Masam Balamazam. So now Rabbi asks Eliyahu Navi, is there a dogma? Do we have any type of example in this world of people who are davening who have the kind of koach that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have? So Amalei, yeah, Ika Rabbi Chiya Vanav. Sure. There's Rabbi Chiya and his sons. So they have that kind of koach at tefillah. So Gaza, Rabbi Latanisa. So Rabbi then declared a fast. And Achtina le Rabbi Chiya Vanav. And what he did is he had Rabbi Chiya and his sons davening for the Amun. Amar. And now they're saying the Shemona Esrei. And they say the words, Ma'ashiv HaRuach. And Nishbazika. And the wind's blowing. And they say, Amar Morid HaGeshem. And then Asamitra, and the rain comes. So as they are davening, so obviously they have the kind of koach atfila, where with every word that they say, it materializes. Kimata lamemar mechaye meisim ragashama. Okay, so you know what's coming up next after Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem. So you have mechaye meisim. So now, okay, so what's going to happen? So you're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. And the world starts shaking as Tchias HaMeisim is about to happen. So Amre Birikia Mangale Razia Bama. So up in Shemayim, they realize, wait one second, it's not the time, it's not the right time. So somebody divulged secrets. So who is it? Amre Eliyahu. So they all said, what do you mean? We know who it is. It's Eliyahu. So Asiol Eliyahu Machiosh Itzimpolse Denura. So they brought Eliyahu up and they gave him 60 makas. You know, heavenly malchus with fiery whips. So asa idmalei keduva denura. Now, as far as the tefillah that was going on here with Rabbi Chiya and his sons, so out came a fire in the form of a dove, in the form of a bear, and abenavitar dinu, and distracted the Rabbi Chiya and his sons, basically stopped them from davening. So tchias hamesim did not actually happen. Okay, it's Generally speaking, hard to look at these Gemaras from a simple, straightforward standpoint. Obviously, meaning, but Tosfos over here is bothered by a simple question, and that is to see second Tosfos on the Amud. Kimat lameimar mechayim esim ragashama. So they got to mechayim esim, and then the world started shaking as tchias esim was about to happen. So you know that's not the first mention of tchias esim in Shmoneh Esrei. Meaning, let's assume that Rabbi Chiya's son started Shmoneh Esrei from the beginning, and Atagi borli. So the Mechayim Mesim actually comes before Mashiv Aruch Merdeg Hashem. So Tosfos is bothered. So how come only after Mashiv Aruch Merdeg Hashem the Tchias Mesim start happening? So a very interesting answer. Tosfos says Avagav Diganam Mechayim Mesim Mekamech Mashiv Aruch Omer Rabbeinu Tam Mishum Tchias Mesim Lohavi Ela Al Yedei Tal. So Rabbeinu Tam says that Tchias HaMesim can only come as a result of Tal. So therefore the Mechaye HaMesim that comes before Mashiv Aruch Merdeg Hashem is Kodem HaTal. It's before precipitation. So, but that doesn't count. Masha Enkein, the Mechaye HaMesim afterwards, so that's after precipitation and, you know, much like a plant grows with water. So Tchias HaMesim is also going to come only Al Yedei, some sort of water.
What does that mean?
Tosfos has the second answer if you didn't like the first one. Okay. The Omer Birakia. Okay. So I'm sorry. Okay. Shmuel. Okay, that's it. That's it. That's the end of the Mila Yagadata regarding Rabbi Chiya and the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. We move along in the Gemara. Shmuel Yarchina. Shmuel, the moon watcher. Okay, the Rashi points out this is Shmuel, meaning this is a Shmuel that we know and love throughout the Gemara. He was an astronomer, an expert astronomer. Actually, he was also a doctor. He was a lot of things. So the but he was such an expert on the moon, so he was given the title of Shmuel Yarchina. Does it mention it anywhere else in Shas? Not to my memory, but okay. So Asya de Rebbe Ava. So he was at one point in time the doctor of Rebbe. So Chalsh Rebbe Beinai. So Rebbe had an ailment in his eye. You get the feeling, by the way, with all these stories of Rebbe, Rebbe was very frail. Meaning, very often you'll find Rebbe being treated, Rebbe being sick. Yesterday we talked about Rebbe and 13 years of suffering. So Rebbe have a chalash Rebbe beinai. So I'm sorry. So Shmuel was a doctor of Rebbe. Rebbe had an ailment in his eye. Amar lei. So he says to him as follows. So im leilach sama. Okay, so fine. So I'll put some sort of ointment right in your eye. So amar lei lo yechilna. So Rebbe says, no, I can't take that. I won't be able to tolerate that. So Isha Le Mishta. So he says, fine. So what I'll do is I'll put it somewhere near your eye, and it'll just simply run down into your eye. Amar lei lo yechilna. So he says, no, I can't even handle an indirect application. So have a mosiv lei begufta disimani tusei beisajev itsei. So he says, fine. So what I'll do is I'll put it in. Now it sounds like, certainly if you read the Rashi, it sounds like almost like it was an intravenous application. Okay, Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi. So Rashi says, tusei beisajev tachas marash osav, it was below his head. Ubokea koachozek hasam v'holech derech etzem. It almost sounds like a little bit more than IV. It sounds like it was Derech Etzim, it went through the bone. I'm sorry, Derech Etzim Galgaloso. Omocho Ad Einav. Okay, I'm not exactly sure how to medically explain it, but in other words, basically, huh? Slightly. So anyway, but he ended up being able to inject the medicine into Rebbe in order to give him a refuah. Have a kamitzar Rebbe lemis mechay v'lo have a misayim milsa. Now, Rebbe wanted to give Shmuel smicha. Right? You ever wonder? It's such a simple question, but it's the truth of the matter is we have many Tanaim and Amoraim that have this, and that is, well, not so much Tanaim, but certainly by Amoraim we have this, and that is, I just thought of a couple Tanaim as well. Anyway, but we have a number of Amoraim that don't go by the term Rav, don't go by the heading of Rav or Rebbe. Right? Shmuel being a perfect example. Right? Shmuel is not a Rav. Shmuel is not a Rebbe. Shmuel is just Shmuel throughout Shas. So the Gemara here tells us that Rebbe actually wanted to give smicha to Shmuel, v'lo hava mistai mosa.
but he just didn't have the right mazel, right? Rashi offers a couple of explanations. Last Rashi in the Amud, Shaisa Hashan Etrefes. Either they were just simply, you know, it was too pressed for time with other things. Oh, lo hayu chachamim nesafim, or he couldn't get the proper chachamim together in order to do smicha. It certainly sounds like from the Rashi that in order to convey smicha from one to another, it has to be with an asifa. It has to be with some sort of gathering. Either way, so Rebbe could not give smicha to Shmuel. So he says you don't have to worry. Meaning it's not a big deal. I saw the Sefer Shel Adam Harishon. Okay, that book sounds exciting. It certainly does. There's a couple of references to that in Shas, not that many. And here's one of them. And Uksiv Bey, and in the Sefer of Adam Harishon, which means that Sefer Adam Harishon has some sort of predictive ability of the future. And in it, it says, Shmuel Yarchina, Chacham Yitkare. So Shmuel, the moon watcher, so everyone's going to call him a Chacham, V'Rebbe lo Yitkare. But he's not going to be called Rebbe. Meaning it's already been forecasted by the Sefer Adam Harishon that Rebbe will, that Shmuel will not become a Rebbe. V'Asu de Rebbe al Yado Tehe. But the refuah of Rebbe will come about through Shmuel. Okay, Sefer Adam Harishon, if you want to take a quick look at Rashi in the top of the Amud, Rashi writes, She'ara Kadosh Baruch Hu Dor Dor V'Sofrav Dor Dor V'Dor Shav Dor Dor V'Chachamav. So in the Sefer of Adam Harishon, so it's basically a catalog of who's going to be the Chachamim of the generation, who's going to be the Sofrim of every generation. So Shmuel made it in the book. But also, at the same time, it's been forecast that he was not going to become a Rebbe. Rabbi Nelson Sof Mishnah. We are now, these are little excerpts from the Sefer Adam Harishon. And that is, Rabbi and Rabbi Nelson are going to be Sof Mishnah, and Ravashi and Ravina Sof Hora'ah. And Ravashi and Ravina are going to be the end of Hora'ah, V'simancha. And just as a way to help you remember, Ad Avo El Mikdashi El Avina La Achrisam. Now I'll get to the Siman in just a moment. But before I get to the Siman, some of the most basic Rashis to go over here. Okay, this Gemara over here is very basic and very fundamental in terms of compartmentalizing the Tanayim to the point of the Mishnah and the Amorim to the point of the Gemara. Rashi writes, Rebbe v'Rebbe Nasan, Sof Mishnah, Kol Zeh Kosov L'Sham. Meaning, okay, like I said, these are excerpts from the books from the book of Adam Harishon. And Sof Mishnah, and Reb and Rashi writes regarding Sof Mishnah, Sof Tanayim Ad Yemehon. Meaning, basically, this brings us to the end of the Tanayim. When you get to Rebbe, you get to Rebbe Nasan. So that marks the end of the Tanayim. Amru Ishes Dvarav Bebeis Medrash. Sorry. Ad Yemein Amru Ishes Dvarav Bebeis Medrash. Because up until that point in time, so nothing was actually put in writing. This is Rashi's opinion. Vahayu Tamidim Gorsim Shmua Shmua Levada. So what the students would do up until Rebbe Yehuda Nasi and Rebbe Nasan is that they would learn, but everything would be said Baal Peh, because it's Torah Shebaal Peh. V'lo hayu masechta seduros, v'seder, v'kibetz ala seder, v'hein klalu ha'amor b'darosh lefnei, v'sidju es ha-masechtos, v'achareim lo yosifo ala ma'at. And so what they did, says Rashi, meaning Rebbe and Rebbe Nasan, is that they put everything into writing, they put it into the six orders, and basically with a couple of few exceptions, everything was written in their tekufa, in their generation, by Rebbe and Rebbe Nasan. So at least Lefi Rashi, seems very clear that when it comes to Mishnayos, so Rebbe and Rebbe Nasan really were responsible for the authorship. When I say authorship, by the way, they're not, in other words, they're just repeating what was already stated previously, but committing it to writing, and also in terms of organization as well. Yeah. So that is a Rashi regarding Rebbe and Rebbe Nelson being Sof Mishnah. Let's do the next Rashi. Sof Hora'ah. Ravina Ravashi is Sof Hora'ah Rashi. Sof Kol Ha'am Orayim Ad Yemehem. Now, once again, they are the end of the period of the Amoraim. Ad yameim lo aisei Gemara ala seder. Now, up until that point in time, so once again, Gemara was not organized, meaning you had the Mishnayos. Now, ela kishaisa sheela nishalas betama Mishnah beveisa medrash. Up until their point in time, so what happened? You learned the Mishnah. Now, there was a question on the Mishnah. O sheela al maisa ma'ore b'din mamon, o isa v'heter. Or if there was a question regarding some sort of monetary law that was not explained in the Mishnah, so kal echa v'echer omer tamo. So everyone would have an opinion and say over what they thought. V'ravash v'ravina siju shmuos amorayim. And so what Ravash and Ravina did is that they organized it, meaning they collected what was said up until that point in time. It's approximately 300 years of history between the Mishnah and Ravina Ravashi, and they committed it to writing. Shelifnim v'kavu al seder masechtos, and again they organized it based on the masechtos. Kol echa v'echad etzal Mishnah haruuya v'ashnu yala. And obviously, what they did is they took the relevant discussion and they applied it to the correct Mishnah. V'hitshu kusher sheish lahashi v'purikim shurim l'tarets, and they asked questions that needed answers. So heim. Them together with the Amoraim that were together with them. The Kaval called the Gemara. And they put into the Gemara, so Kagon. So Rashi says, like, for example, Esve, Mesve, Rimenu, Ibailuhu. The classic questions that the Gemara asks regarding various steers between Mishnayos, so this is what Ravina and Ravashi did. Vaterutzim, Shealeim, Masha, Shairo, Sam Shalafneim. So they give over the answers. The answers that were said before them, the answers that they're giving. Vaosam, Shamalafneim. Hakushis, Vaterutzim, Shalem. Lo Kavim, Begemara, Al Seder, Masechus, Vamishna, Shisita, Rebbe, Ubao, Ravashi, Varavina, Vakavum. So there were the ones who basically wrote down all the discussion that took place. Okay, so what a fundamental Gemara, what a basic Gemara, describing now Ravina and Ravashi being the Sof Mishnah. I'm sorry, Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi being Sof Mishnah, and Ravina Ravashi being Sof Hara. Let's just now go to the Siman. The Siman is a Pasuk in Tehillim, Adavo al Mikdashi. Rashi explains Mikdashi, so that is a reference to Ravashi. Yeah, right. The word mikdash from the word, you write the shin, the ash sound of mikdash is a simon for Ravashi, and avina is a simon for Ravina, and la'achri sam, and that's the end, that's the closure, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Am Rav Karni Shaili Rav Chama Barbarta Dechasa Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Agav Shamda Nachnafshei. Okay. The Gemara now is going to launch into a lengthy discussion regarding Rabbah. The Gemara here describes him as Rabbah Bar Nachmeni. Okay. He was the Rebbe of Rava and Abaye. Okay, so so we're basically entering into the middle Tkufa of the Amoraim. Okay, we're past Rav and Shmuel. And this would basically be the next generation, right? So the Gemara is going to discuss that line. So Rav Kahana says that I was told by Rav Chama Bar Barte de Chasa that Rabba Bar Nachmeni died as a result of fear of the king. Okay, and let's get the rest of the story. Achla beikarsa beimalka. So somebody spoke lashon hara. So achla beikarsa is a term that you're going to see a number of times throughout the Gemara. It describes lashon hara. Someone speaking lashon hara about Rabba. And how did the lashon hara go? It went as follows. Amru ikachai gavra biyudai de kamevatol treisar alfe gavra miyisrael yarcha bekaita viyarcha besata. So there is this person who somehow is able to collect 12,000 people, and for 1 month, for 2 months of the year, a month in the summer and a month in the fall, and Michaga de Malka. And because he was able to collect them for 2 months of the year, so they're not paying taxes for that month. So in other words, Basically, from now let's look at it from our perspective. From our perspective, it's very simple. In other words, Rabba, meaning Rabba Bar Nachmeni, so he had a convention, two conventions a year, where basically he was speaking about, the conventions were very simple. As we were approaching Pesach, so he had a convention regarding the halachas of Pesach. And as we approached the month of Nisan, so he had a convention regarding Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, meaning Hilchos Chag. So, and we know, Shloshim Yom Karam L'Chag, 30 days before Yantiv, so you say over the halachas. So he had such a convention, and thousands of students came to hear him. More specifically, 12,000. And so, for a full month. So that means now that the tax collectors are losing, for those 2 months, 12,000 people's worth of tax. So, they didn't like Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So Shadru, Prisakta Demalka Basrei. So they sent some sort of officer to go and to collect Rabba. V'lo ashkechei, and they couldn't find him. Arak v'azal mipom b'disa lakra. And now the Gemara is basically going to give us the trail in which Rabba was running away from the officer. So he goes from pumpadisa takra miakra lakma miakma l'shichen l'tzrifa mitzrifa la'ein damim ein damim l'pumpadisa. Okay, so looks like a full circle in terms of him running away from the officer. But Pumbadisa Ashkechei. So now in Pumbadisa, he did end up finding him. And the Gemara now relates. Ikla Prisikta Damalka Lau Shpiza, the Rabbah. So it happens to be that this officer now is going to the inn in which Rabbah was staying. But he didn't know at this point in time yet that this was the same inn. So, Krivu Taka Kame. So as this officer was staying in the same hotel as Rabbah, so they brought a table in front of him, Vashkui Tre Kasa, and they had him drink 2 cups of wine. Vidayal Ataka Mekame, and they took the table away from him. Now, if you remember the Gemara in Pesachim in the 10th Perek, so the Gemara spoke there extensively about the idea of Zugos. Now, the idea of Zugos, I can only begin to explain, and not even that. But somehow, when you do something in pairs, so it brings about a confrontation with Shadim, and it's not good. Okay, how did I do in terms of explanation? Probably not good. But okay, but anyway, Zugos. That's the.
There's a duality issue versus.
You understand it better than I do. So this is the idea behind Zugos. The reason why it's discussed over there in the 10th Perek of Pesachim is the Gemara over there asks a simple question. How can the Chachamim be misaking Dal Kosos for Lel Seder? Meaning that's obviously 2 pairs of 2. So how can they do that? And you know, remember the Gemara's answer over there? The Gemara said over there, Lel Shimurim. Okay, that's we don't have to worry about these things on Pesach. Pesach, it's a night where HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us. So the Zugos are things that bother us. Another answer over there. It's all coming back to me. I love it.
Huh?
No, the Gemara didn't. I don't think the Gemara said that. Huh? So the Gemara there said another answer that every cup is mitzvah bifnei atzma, meaning it's not 4 cups. It's 4 mitzvahs, 4 separate independent mitzvahs. Okay, anyway. Okay, good. So the Gemara came back to me. So anyway, but meanwhile, so this officer who was hunting down Rabba, so he was staying at the hotel, the same hotel as Rabba, and he was drinking 2 cups of wine, and they took away the table, and that's not good. So Harda Partsufa Lachore, his face turned around. Okay, don't ask me to give you a detailed description of what happened over here in the inversion of his face, but something bad happened to him as a result of this. So Amrele my Navid le Gavra de Malkahu. So now the innkeeper was petrified. This guy's an officer of the king, and this is what I did to him, and the word's going to get back, and I'm going to suffer. So Amrele, so he said, now that he over here is Rabba, meaning what Rabba's going to do now is he's going to save this guy, the same guy who's hunting him down. So Amrele Krivatakala Kame Vashku Chai Kasa. So what you're going to do is you're going to bring the table in front of him, and you're going to have him drink another cup of wine. This now would represent his 3rd cup of wine, and perfect. And now he's no longer on the evens, he's now on the odds, and we're good. So Vidayul Atakame Kame Velitse. And then immediately take the table away from him, meaning don't let him drink a 4th cup of wine, because then you're back on the evens, and that's no good. So have him drink a 3rd cup of wine and be done with it. So Abdullah Hachivitzi, and that's exactly what happened, and he was healed. So Amar, so now the Shliach Melch, this officer said, so I know that the guy that I'm hunting down lives here. Meaning he must have understood that. The only person that could have healed him is somebody who is knowledgeable. That knowledgeable person must be Rabbah, and everybody seeks Rabbah for his knowledge and for his information. He must be here. He knew it. So he's searching after him and he finds him. Now Amar. So now the officer says to Rabbah as follows. Azulna meha, azlina meha, imito katlula ugavra lo maglina. Look, I'll tell you what. If you kill me, then I won't reveal where you are. Meaning, I'm ready to accept death right now. I see that you're a special person. I see that you healed me. So in other words, I now know you're a good guy. So, in order so that I go back to the king and not divulge where you are, so the only thing I'm really ready to accept right now is death. You'll kill me. And now, maglina. However, if I get tortured, I'm going to tell them where you are. Meaning, I know it. So, and by the way, we have Gemaras elsewhere that talk about how people are more prepared to face death than face torture. Right? Ilu Nagde, right? You'll forgive me, I don't remember where the Gemara is. But the Gemara says that me that the three others with Daniel. Okay, I forgot the names also. But anyway, the three others with the Daniel, the Gemara says that had they been tortured as opposed to being Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Thank you. So they were tortured as opposed to being killed. So the Gemara says they would have been Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay. Again, I don't remember where the Gemara is, but the Gemara says it a couple of times. Exuvus? Okay, fine. Oh, good. Oh, you also brought it down. Okay, Baruch Shekivanti. Okay, I'm doing well today. So the Gemara says that. So generally speaking, torture is worse than being killed. So he knows it. This officer knows it. So he says, "Look, I'm ready to be killed." Now Rabbah obviously didn't want to kill him. Meaning, so what do we do? So Asul Kame. So he brought him in front of him. Ailula Junay. So they brought him to a room. Vitarkala Baba Banve, and they locked the door. So now we are in a room with just the officer and Rabbah. So by Rachame. Parik Ishtik. So Ashisa, so he asked for Rachmanus, the wall fell down, Arik Va'azal Agma, and he ran away to the swamp. Okay. Hava Yasiv Agirda Didikula Vikagaris. So he was sitting on now the stump of a palm tree, and he was learning. Kamifl Gibi Mesifsa Derekia. And the following machlokas took place in the Yeshiva Shamala. Okay, this is going to be interesting. And the machlokas goes like this. Now, imbaris kodem l'seir lavan tame. Mim seir lavan kodem l'baris tahor. Okay, so a basic halacha, and I say basic meaning I'm not holding in a gaim. Okay, you'll forgive me. Okay, I don't know if Akash Baruch Hu will, but okay, at least the audience here will forgive me. So if the halacha is that in order to be tameh with tumas nagaim and specifically a baharis, so you need two criteria. You need the skin to go white and depress inward, and also you need two white hairs, and also you need a sequence. You need an order, and the correct order is that the if the white comes before the hair, so then you're tame. And I'm sorry. Lavan tame. So if the white spot comes before the hair, so then you're going to be tame. And lavan kodem baharis. But if the white hair comes before the baharis, so then you're tar. Okay, so that's the sequence. And with two opposite conclusions. Now, safek. Now, what if you don't know which came first? So, in other words, the only thing now you've discovered is both the white spot and the two white hair. So then, what do you do when you don't know what the sequence actually was? So here, there's a machlokus between this. This is the part that's interesting. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amar Tahor Vekula Masifta Derekia Amre Tameh. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu says that you are Tahor, and the Yeshiva Shamala says that you're Tameh. Okay. Now we generally know that when it comes to Torah here on this earth, lo b'shamayim hi, meaning so that we are the ones who get to decide. But this one's an interesting one because it's not a machlok, it's between Akash Baruch Hu and us. It's a machlok is between Akash Baruch Hu and the Yeshiva Shamala. Okay, I don't have anything for you. Meaning I don't know how to frame this. I don't know how to understand this. But that is this. It's what's happening. So So they said, fine. So we have a machlokas. Who's going to decide? Nochach, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Okay, so we'll have Rabba Bar Nachmeni decide. To Amar Rabba Bar Nachmeni, ani yachid benegayim, ani yachid ba'olos. So he's an expert in negayim, he's an expert in olos. Shadru shlicha basrei. So now there is only one detail that needs to be covered over here, and that right now is that he's on this earth, and in order for him to decide, he needs to go to Yeshiva Shamala. Okay, but that's only a one-way ticket, though. In other words, you only head to Yeshiva Shamala, you don't come back down. So, the Lohava Mate Malach Hamavis Lamach Karevle, Medelohavi Kapasik Pume Migirse. The Malach Hamavis, however, couldn't take him because he kept learning, and he wouldn't stop learning. So the Malach Hamavis couldn't approach him. Adahachi Nashav Zika Ve'iv Shebeine Kane. So now a strong wind came, rustled up the trees, and Savar Gunda de Parshihu. Now he thought, oh no, more of the king's troops that are coming to get me. And this brings us back all the way to the beginning of the story, where the Gemara introduced the whole story with that the fear of the king is what killed Rabbah. And now, full circle, here we are, where he was learning, Malach HaMavis couldn't get him, the wind blew, the trees rustled, he thought now that the king was out to get him. Amar Tenach Nafshei Dehugavra V'lo Yimser B'yada Demachusar. So he says, at that point in time, I'm ready to be taken by the Malach HaMavis, I do not want to be taken by the king, V'kachaya, and that's exactly what happened. Kihava Kanicha Nafshei, when he died, Amar Tahor Tahor, so he said Tahor, meaning, he gave a psak to the question that was asked in the Yeshiva Shamala. Where it's a suffix, I don't know what came first. Was it the Baharis? Was it the Shtei Sa'aros? So Akash Baruch Hu said Tameh, the Yeshiva Shamala said Tahor, and Rabba came up, and Rabba decided, and he said Tahor. So Yatz Abaskal V'Amar, and now came Abaskal and said, Ashrecha Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Sheguvcha Tahor, you have a Tahor body, V'Yatz Nishmascha B'Tahor, and you exit the world in a state of Tahara, the double entendre, meaning that's what he said in terms of paskening, and now Yatz Neshama B'Tahara, in other words, he kept his neshama pure. Out came a note from the yeshiva, from upstairs down to Pumpadisa, and the note read, Rabba Bar Nachmeni Nizbakish B'Yeshiva Shamala. Rabba was requested in the Yeshiva Shamala, which means that he's no longer on this earth. So his two main Talmidim, Abai and Rava, together with the other Talmid Chachamim, so they went out to give a proper hesped. Well, first of all, they went out to go bury his body. Okay, that's number one. Lo haviyade duchtei, they didn't know where it was. Azula agma, they went out to the swamp, chazut safra demetale, so they saw birds who were basically creating shade on a particular area. Vikaime, amri, so they said, shmamina, hasam hu. Okay, that's where he is. That's where he must be. So they found his body, they buried the body, and now eulogizing. Saftu tasa yuma v'tasa leilusa. So they eulogized for three straight days and nights. Nafal pitka. Out came another note from Shemaim down to Pumbedisa. And it said, kol haporish yehei benidui. Okay, don't stop eulogizing. Meaning this is Rabba we're talking about. He demands more eulogy. So saftu a shiva yume. So they eulogized him for a total of 7 days. And after 7 days of eulogizing, then a final note came down and says, okay, sufficient. On the day of the death of Rabba, out came a storm. And took an Arab who was riding on a camel. From one side of the river to the other side of the river, that's how strong the wind is. Amar my high. His reaction when being blown was, what is going on over here? So the explanation is that Rabba dies. So the Arab now petitions HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, you know, the entire world belongs to you. And Rabba belongs to you. At de Rabba, the Rabba didach. You belong to Rabba, Rabba belongs to you. Amai kamechav to l'alama. So everything should be fine, meaning you should be happy. You're together with Rabba again. So why are you destroying the world? So nach za'afai. So the storm settled, and his tefillas was listened to. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta ba basar hava. That is the end. Before I started reading, that is the end of the Gemara's description of Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Nearly an entire amud of Gemara dedicated to Rabba with a little biographical sketch. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta ba Basar Hava. Look, in the yesterday's daf we talked about various Tanayim who were large. And Amaraim, right? Rabbi Yochanan also. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, one other Tanayim we mentioned yesterday who was pleasantly plump. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Mechlafta ba Basar Hava, he also was large. Yumachad Hava Chamim Alei. One day he was very hot. Salik v'yasev ashina detour. So he went to the top of the mountain to get a little bit of mountain air and a breeze. Amrle labarte. So he says to his daughter, Biti hanifi alai bin nefifa. He says, could you fan me a little bit? I'm really hot. V'ani etin lach kikarin dinerd. And I'll give an erd, some sort of fragrance for doing so. Ada achinash bazika. Out comes the wind. And Amar. And he realizes, and the wind obviously was provided by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kama kikarin dinerd lamaridiki. I was ready to offer a little bit of perfume to my daughter if she would just fan me. And meanwhile, out comes the wind from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he realizes the kind of recognition and what and the debt of gratitude that he owes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hakol kemenag hamedina. We go back to the Mishnah. This is generally the point now where we stop with the Agadata, we go back to the Mishnah, and we go back to our usual routine. That's not what's going to happen now. Akol kemenag hamedina. So hakol asur yimai. So there is one halachic comment that the Gemara is going to make regarding our Mishnah, and that is on the lashon of hakol. So what is that coming to include? So the Gemara says lasur yibasra dineiga michrach rifta umishta anafka. So the Gemara says where the minag hamedina is to provide food, where the employer is providing food for his employees, bread and drink. Di amaluchu kidma v'aisaluchu, where the employer says, look, I'm going to provide food and drink, but earlier than when you normally come, right? As we learned a couple days ago. So if the minhag is, which is the general minhag, is that they only need to start walking to work at Netzach Chama, at sunrise, so then they start working at sunrise. But let's say the employer says, look, you know what breakfast is? Breakfast is earlier, right? If you come to breakfast, if you come early, so then you'll get breakfast. Otherwise, you're not getting it. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, where there the employees can rightfully say to the employer, lo kal kaminak. No, that's not the minhag. The minhag is that you provide food at work, during work. And we only have to start working to work at Netzach Chama. So you can't demand that we come earlier in order to eat. Okay. Maisa Bram Yochem Emas Yasham Lev Notes Evesachor Maisa Lister. Now the story seems to be somewhat difficult in light of what we've just learned in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Hakol Kemenag Medina. And then they're talking about this lavish feast. Well, if that's not the Minog, so then you don't have to provide a lavish feast. Like, what is going on over here? So, Chesura Mechza V'Achi Ketani. So the Gemara says, we're missing a little bit from the Mishnah, and we're going to insert one more point in the Mishnah, and then the story will make perfect sense. In Pasuk Lamizonos, Riba Lahen. You see, it goes like this. The minimum of Medina is to provide some basic food for your employees. Fine. Once you tell them that you're going to be giving them food, and the minig is already that they're going to get food, so clearly what you meant by that is I'm going to give you more than usual. That's the point the Mishnah wanted to make, and now the story makes perfect sense. I'm going to read this really quickly because this is just now a repeat of the Mishnah. Okay, and now the story makes perfect sense because once you pledge to give them food where the minig is already to give them food, so then that means that you are committed to give them a lot of food. Viter. Let's continue in the Gemara. Lamehmer desu dasadav from Avinu Adifa Meishlamo. Now remember the statement that the father made to his son is that they are the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore the meal of Shlomo won't suffice. The implication, I mentioned this back in the Mishnah, but now the Gemara is going to discuss this straight on. The implication is very clear that Avram Avinu ate better, and Yitzchak and Yaakov ate better than Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vaksi, Vayhi Lechem Shlomo. The Gemara says, okay, but it's hard to imagine, because Suda Shlomo, let's take a look. We're going to look at the Pesukim describing Suda Shlomo. Vayhi Lechem Shlomo liyom echad, shloshim kor souls, v'shishim kor kemach. So it's fine flour, it's coarse flour, asara bakar, ten cattle briyim, v'asara bakar roe, umeya tzon, okay, ten types of one cow, ten types of another cow, 100 sheep, lavan me'ayil utzvi v'yachmor, and various types of ram, gazelle, other types of gazelle, ubar burim avusim, Okay, barberim. Okay, we all don't know what our barberim is, but we all think about it on Shabbos, so we know it's some sort of delicacy. And don't even think that the list over here is actually a reference to the actual seuda. These are kind of like condiments to the seuda of Shlomo HaMelech, right? Like, for example, the flour that's mentioned over here, that's only amalim shel tabachim. When the butchers cook up the meat, so they use a little bit of flour just to soak up. So the flour over here wasn't even for the bread. That was just simply to soak up some of the sauce of the meat being cooked. For Rav Yitzchak Amar Halal Sika Kedera, and the meat that was being described, the bakar and the tzon, so that was only to help enhance the taste of the meat that was actually being cooked. So to say the least, it was a lavish suda for Shlomo HaMelech. And it is hard to and we didn't even finish describing it yet. And I'm just going to read it on the Gemara. V'am Rav Yitzchak Elav Nashim Hayu L'Shlomo. Shlomo had 1,000 wives. And Kol Achas V'Achas Asala B'Vesa Kach. Every one of them prepared a meal for Shlomo HaMelech like we just described. Now my time is Zuz V'Rosh HaMelech Tzlisi Eid Hayom. V'Zuz V'Rosh HaMelech Tzlisi Eid Hayom. Each one of them hoping, anticipating that Shlomo HaMelech would be eating by each one of them individually. So on the hope that Shlomo HaMelech, and 1 in 1,000 chance, it's not good, but with a 1 in 1,000 chance that Shlomo HaMelech was going to eat by them, so each one of them prepared a meal for that. Now, can you imagine? That was the meal that was set up for Shlomo HaMelech times 1,000. And Avram ate better than Shlomo HaMelech. Ve'ilu gabe Avram k'siv ela bakarat Avram ve'kach ben bakarach v'tov. So he prepared what seems to be one singular animal. And v'amr Rav Yehuda amra ben bakar achas rach shnayim tov shlosha. Okay, it was three animals. So by Avram Avinu we're talking about three animals, and by Shlomo HaMelech we're talking about a lot more. Okay, I'll let you do the numbers. Okay, but it's a lot more. So how can the implication of the Mishnah be that they are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the suit of Shlomo won't do? Sounds like the suit of Shlomo will do. Sounds like it's better than that of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Gemara says it's different. Ha'asam t'lasa turei l't'lasa gavrei, ha'cha l'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda. So who is getting fed by the meal? So when it comes to Avraham Avinu and the serving of the three guests that came to his house, three animals for three people. One animal per person. However, when it comes to the meal of Shlomo HaMelech, so you asked the question before, who ate the leftovers? The answer is the Jewish people, meaning the entire population of Yerushalayim, Yehuda. So they were the ones who were consuming the meal. Shenemar Yehuda v'Yisrael, Rabim, Kechol, Asher Alayam. Okay. So the Gemara says that, and that's the difference. My barburim avusim. Okay, what's barburim? I always wanted to know. So Amar Rav Shaofsim Osam Bal Karcham. So animals that were forced fed. Ushmul Amar Shaofsim Va'omdim Me'aleim. They fed on their own. The Rav Yochanan Amar Mivian Tor Mi Mar Iso B'Dalo Anis. Rav Yochanan says that it was an ox that never worked, so it was softer, and the muscle was softer. Tarnagolos mi ashpasa b'dolo anisa. And also the chicken, the hen, that never did any work as well, so it was a softer meat. I'm Rav Yochanan Mufchesh b'hem ashur, Mufchesh b'ofas. Tarnagolos, Rav Yochanan says, the best of the animals is the ox, the best of the birds is the chicken. I'm Ramai Zakta Uchmasa b'bat nisa. Amemar says that the barburim described in the pasuk is a black chicken that was had a big belly. Dimishtakha beni atzrei. Beni atzrei that was always by the wine vats, and so therefore was able to pick at the skins of the grapes. Dilom asina psia kanya. Was so fat, so rotund that couldn't jump from one place to another. That's the barburim being described in the pasukim. Okay. It gives us an opportunity now, so I thought, gives us an opportunity now to speak a little bit about Avram Avinu. We were comparing the suit of Avram to the suit of Shlomo, and so now we're going to go into a Agadah that we're pretty familiar with. A lot of this is Rashi and Chumash. So we know that there were three animals we darshaned through the Pesukim. The Gemara is bothered. I don't understand. Rachi v'tov, why are those just simply adjectives? And it's one animal. So in kin lichtov rach tov. my vatov. So shma min aladrasha. The vav. It's an addition. So the Gemara says amatre. Okay, the Gemara says, well, let's say it's two animals. Midatov ladrasha, rachnam ladrasha. The Gemara says, yeah, but they're both drashas. Mesev rabba barula vitem, rav oshia vitem, rav nasim rabbi oshia, vaitin el hana viyamahel asos, oso. The word osos belashon yachid. Sounds like it's one animal. So the Gemara says, no, kol chad v'chad yavi lenar chad. No, he had three na'arim. Each one of them he gave one animal. Once again, it sounds like it's one animal, not three. So the Gemara says, no, as each one is prepared, each one is served. The Gemara says, tiske b'chad. Okay, now, I understand, the three people. Each one of them doesn't need their own animal. So Amar Chanan bar Rava, kedei la'achilam shalosh lashonos bechardal. So the Gemara says each one of them got a tongue with a little bit of mustard as a condiment, and so each one of them is going to be served one tongue, so you need three separate animals. Okay, this is where we'll stop for today. Tomorrow we'll continue. Right, Rashi, by the way, Rashi brought that down in Chumash. That's why I assume we all know it. Okay, we did today most of Peivav. We covered some basic Gemara really in the beginning of today's Shir regarding Rebbe and Rebbe Nelson being self Mishnah, Ravina and Ravashi being self Hara'a. We went through the Rashi's inside. Really important, fundamental in terms of the chronology and the Masorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Most of the Amud Aleph today dealt with Rabba and the greatness of Rabba and the death of Rabba. And then a little bit we went back to the Mishnah to discuss Minhag Medina, and then back to the Agadata comparing the Suda Shlomo to the Suda of Avram Avinu. And tomorrow we're going to continue with the Suda of Avram Avinu.